The Pre-Loved Club by Sue Tedern, read by Imogen Church and Sam Alexander.
Ned, 2017. Ned and Tanya were on a wardrobe recce, the kind of weekendy coupley things couples do at weekends. Dora had been invited to her cousin's birthday party in Haywards Heath, so it made sense to drop her off, nip to IKEA in Croydon, and try out drawers and doors on the wardrobes Ned had researched so thoroughly online. He was sure he could convince Tanya that the Songasand was the one for them if she could just see it full size and in situ. He loved the IKEA room settings, not to mention the meatballs. They were in a faux bedroom. It was all a bit too scandy for Ned. At least 12 artfully scattered cushions in various shades of beige on the king-size bed, too many framed monochrome prints of dried-up leaves, and he kept walking into the low-slung lampshade, seemingly made from tea-stained serviettes. "Is this what they mean by hygge?" he asked as he bumped his head. Again. "Hygge's Danish, IKEA's Swedish." Tanya knew stuff like that. The Songasand definitely looked the business. Ample hanging space, somewhere for shoes, plus there was also a chest of drawers and bedside tables, if they ever went full-on matchy-matchy. He opened the door, then closed it, then opened it again. Nice smooth action. Tanya leant, arms crossed, against a fake wall that was trying hard to look like paint-flecked old bricks. Funny the details he'd remember, years later. "Come on, Ned," Tanya sighed. "I promised we'd collect Dora at 6. Flatpack stuff can be flimsy, though, especially when I put it together." He opened and closed the wardrobe one more time. "Which do you prefer, Songasand or Vistus?" No reply. Earth to Tanya. "You okay? Hey, why don't we have lunch first, then decide?" She frowned, took a deep breath, and composed her thoughts. She had to get this right. "I'm so sorry, Ned. I can't do this anymore." "Fair enough. I suppose I could restore that pine wardrobe your mum gave us. New handles or a nice matte paint job. Cream, say, or dark blue to complement the curtains." He perched on the bed, patting it for her to sit beside him, but she stayed standing. Comfy bed, he thought. Comfier than theirs, which dipped in the middle. "Maybe we should treat ourselves to a new mattress, too." Tanya shook her head in close to tears frustration. "You don't get it, Ned. What I'm trying to say is, I need more space or I'll explode."
"The Songasand has extra storage at the bottom."
"Forget the bloody wardrobe."
He knew not to ignore that tone of voice.
"Sure, absolutely. Ready for meatballs?"
Then she said it, in IKEA of all places.
"I think we need some time apart. From each other. I feel suffocated. You must know what I mean."
She searched his face for a frown of understanding. But he didn't understand. Not then, not now.
"We're just not, I don't know, we're not who we used to be. We've changed."
"I haven't."
"Exactly. We're in such different places. Surely you can see that."
Ned shook his head.
It made no sense. "Mum and Dad will put us up for a bit. Me and Dora."
Her voice cracked.
"Until we know if we've got a future."
"I've got a future," he said,
louder than he'd intended.
"With you and Dora."
He tried to find his Tanya in her eyes, but she wouldn't look at him. She was clearly upset, but at least she'd known what was coming. She wasn't the one who'd had the rug pulled out. She let him reach out and take her hand. She reciprocated his squeeze of her fingers. It felt familiar, but it was different. Everything was different.
Gemma, 2017. Gemma couldn't bring herself to enter Roxy's Fish Bar for a good 9 months after the breakup, even though it was way better than the chippy by the bus stop. Roxy's felt cursed. So she avoided it. In fact, she avoided fish and chips full stop. Just the smell of batter was an emotional trigger, and she had to gouge her palms with her nails in order not to cry. Then she decided that, okay, Joe had screwed...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?